All right, Rabbi Sai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Mem Aleph. We're starting from the top of the daf from the Mishnah. So an interesting daf ahead of us today. Mishnah says, Ha'omer pasisi esbito shalplomi. A man says, I seduced the daughter of so-and-so. So the halacha is, Mishalim boshes upegam apiatzmo. He has to pay meribos. We saw already in yesterday's daf, the idea of and also really the day before as well, the concepts of boshes upegam. So he has to pay the amount of her humiliation and depreciation. Apiatzmo. And remember again, as opposed to a typical case where ultimately the perpetrator is brought to Beis Din. In this particular case, he is going ahead and admitting it on his own. So the halacha is, he pays boshes and pegam apiatzmo based on his own admission. Ve'in mishalim kinas. However, again, he does not pay the kinas, the penalty payment. Rashi points out over here, ve'in mishalim kinas, second line in Rashi, be'baba kama nafgalon mode b'kinas potter. Remember, what the Gemara over here, the Mishnah over here is highlighting is a very important yisod, a mode b'kinas potter, namely that when a person admits that he is liable to a kinas, to a penalty payment, he is potter. This is learned out of Gzeiras HaKosov. The Gemara says, "Nafkulan mode b'knas pater me asher yarshion elokim prat lemarshia es atzmo." So the pasuk by knas says asher yarshion elokim. That little elokim, by the way, is really Elohim. In this context, it doesn't mean God. It means the Dayana, means the Beis Din. So the Beis Din will go ahead and punish the individual. But ultimately, this comes to exclude someone who, so to speak, becomes liable because of his own admission. So the Mishnah is now going to give a number of illustrations of this same concept. Ha'omer ganafti. So a person says, I stole an object. What's that halacha? Mishalim esek karen api atzmo. He pays the karen. Karen refers to the principal. The in mishalim tashlumi kefel v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha. But he would not pay kefel. Kefel is a double payment. Arba v'chamisha, remember, is the financial penalty if you go ahead and you steal an animal and then you subsequently shecht it and or sell it. And I will say, same yisod. Karen represents what we call mamon, a financial payment. Financial payment you could incur as a result of your own admission. But knas, penalty payments, you cannot make yourself liable to knas. In fact, just the opposite. Modip knas, one who goes in and admits that he owes the knas, is potter. Hamis shori es ploni. Similarly, again, if a person says, my ox went ahead and killed ploni, o shorah shel ploni, or my ox killed the shor of ploni. See, here I'm admitting that my ox went ahead and either killed someone or killed someone's ox. Hare zo mishalim api atzmo. A person will go ahead and pay based on their own admission. Now, it's interesting over here. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Hamis shori es ploni v'harini chayiv bekofer. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. There's a kofer payment. Kofer payment is that if my ox kills someone or kills another ox, there is a standard amount that is given, that is paid, based on the age, gender, status of the individual. Same thing by the ox. Now I will say, so that sounds like what? What kind of payment does that sound like? That sounds like knas. Because remember, what's the fundamental chiluk between knas and mamon? So knas is just some objective amount that does not usually seem to be rooted in any kind of reality. Mamon, on the other hand, is directly related and evaluated in accordance with the damage you have inflicted. So the Mishnah just pointing out of here, it's not our topic for today, we'll get to this in the babas, but the Tana of this Mishnah holds that kofer is considered to be mamon, even though, again, it is an objective amount as brought down in the Torah. The Gemara goes on. If a person says, my shor killed the eved of so-and-so, then I'll also remember the halacha is, if you look at Rashi, avdo shoploni v'harini chayiv shloshim sela. The Torah says that if your shor kills an eved, you are chayiv 30 sela. Rabbi say, what type of payment is that? That's knas, right? That's knas. Because again, remember, whether that's an old eved, young eved, it's just an objective amount, which indicates that it's a knas. So what's the halacha? Therefore, ein mishalim al pi atzmo. Therefore, the halacha is that I do not pay based on my own admission. And therefore, the Mishnah, after illustrating all of these cases, says, ze haklal. Here is the general principle. Kol ha-mishalim yeser amah shehizik. any time that you go out and you pay more than what you damage. And Rabbi said, the Gemara is going to question this verbiage. But really what the Mishnah seems to be saying is any time, literally, that you're paying more, or in reality, any time that what you're paying is does not really seem to be related to the amount of damage you have done, then the halacha is, Eino Meshalem Api Atzmo, you do not pay based on your own admission, or in other words, you cannot incur liability for a knas based on your own admission. You could only incur liability for a moment. Says the Gemara, Velisni Anasti. So remember, again, the Mishnah begins with the case of Pasisi. A man says, I seduced a woman. That's how this whole discussion gets started. I seduced a woman. So what does the Mishnah say? I have to pay for a boshes and her pigam. That's mamon. But I am potter from the knas of the mefata. So the Gemara says, why do you bring down the case of mefata? Why don't you bring the case of anasti, where a man says, I violated a woman? Meaning, again, I will say, the principle is going to be the same. What the Gemara is just picking up on is, remember, what's the primary topic of this particular perek? Primary topic is the ma'anes, is the man who's violating the woman. So why don't I go ahead and say that lemaisa, I violated the woman, illustrated in that way. So the Gemara says, lomi bai kamar. They will say, lomi bai is a stylistic format of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah sometimes will say A, and once you say A, it goes without saying that B applies as well. So lomi bai kamar. Lomi bai anasti delo kapagim la. The Mishnah boshes hapagam upagam apiatzmo. So they will say, certainly, it doesn't even have to be said that if a man says that he violated a woman, I will say, when a man says that he violated a woman, now this is very interesting, the Gemara says there's no pigam for her. In no way does it hurt, does it detract from her standing. What does that mean? I will say, if a man says that he violated a woman, that indicates clearly that what? That it was against her will. She was obviously not compliant in the act. Therefore, in no way does it impact her status as a person, her status as an individual, that this happened to her. It wasn't her fault. Someone violated her. However, and therefore, again, it goes without saying that the violator, when he says that he violated the woman, that'll have to be her boshes apagam, ava pasisi. But suppose, listen to this. When a man says, I violated a woman, dikapagimla. Now, Rabbi said, and this is very interesting. Dikapagimla means what? That literally, he's being motzi laz on her. Because what essentially is he saying? He's saying, I seduced her. But at the end of the day, what? At the end, she was compliant. She participated. That's an incredible pagam. By the way, it's not just a pagam on her, but it's also, as we're going to see, a pagam on her mishpacha. So I might have thought, Ema lo mishalim apiatzmo. Well, say, I might have thought that's what? I might have thought that perhaps when a man comes forward and says, I seduced a woman, that what does the Beis Din say? What does the Beis Din say? We don't believe you. That was, because remember again, in a classic case of mefata, who's initiating the claim against the seducer? Who's initiating the claim? Right? The father of the girl or someone from the family. That's the classic case. This is very novel because over here what you have is apparently, let's say, a guy who has a guilty conscience. He comes before Beis Din, listen, I seduced this girl. So the Havamina is, maybe we shouldn't believe him. Because when you say, Reuven, you show up and you say that you seduced Rivka, it's very nice that you want to clear your conscience. But in doing so, what are you doing? You're implicating Rivka in the fact that she was complicit with an act. I was actually having this discussion at Kiddush with someone, which was not a good time to have this conversation. But, you know, the interesting part about we have not discussed the dynamics of mefata. Like, what does it mean to seduce someone, right? What's the case? I mean, this person really was not inappropriate for Kiddush. Like, there were kids everywhere, ladies everywhere. It was not good. But the point, he was asking a good shayla, which was, well, how do you know what's a case of seduction and what's just the case of two people ultimately choosing to engage in a sexual relationship, but where both are totally fine with it? So we'll see. This is actually going to be the next parak. We'll discuss. It's actually interesting, not a topic for today, but it is actually interesting how, like, if you look at the laws of sexual harassment, so very often, I just know that. I mean, it's not like, it was just somebody pointed this out to me, that if you look at the laws of sexual harassment, very often, what constitutes sexual harassment? Where there's an imbalance of power. Like this. So we'll see, by the way, that mefata follows very much of the same type of pattern. Because remember, again, as we'll see, the mefata only applies to a nara, only applies to a girl in that 6-month period, according to most. So we'll see the man is obviously older than that. So it's an imbalance of power. In any event, what the Gemara is saying over here is, I might have thought that lemaisa, I might have thought that Lamaisa, when a guy shows up in Beis Din and says, I seduced the woman, perhaps you shouldn't believe him. Because if you believe him, ultimately, again, that's being motzi laz on the girl. Emalo mishlam apiatzmo. Therefore, the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, that we do believe him. Kamash Tobosa, something. The Gemara doesn't have to tell me about the case where a guy shows up in Beis Din. Reuven shows up and says that I violated Rivka. Of course, you're going to believe him. Because there's no reason not to believe him. It doesn't reflect poorly on Rivka. It doesn't reflect at all at Rivka. Rivka had something done against her will. So of course he's going to have to pay, but perhaps I thought the Havamina is that I shouldn't believe him when he says that I seduced her, because if he says I seduced her, that means that she was compliant in the act as well. Kamash Malan, no. Kamash Malan, even when he shows up and says I seduced her, we still believe him. Again, we believe him only legabe damages. Only legabe damages, but we do not believe him, or now we do not believe him legabe kenas. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malam, mas nisin delo kiai tano. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah does not reflect the view of the following tano. Who is that? Desanya. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Om Rishum Yehuda says, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, af boshes upegam, eno mishalem api atzmo. So Bosei, the Gemara just points out that what appears to be a dover pashat, according to our Mishnah, not everyone subscribes to. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda sent in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that when a guy shows up in Beis Din and says that he seduced a woman, he does not pay boshes umpegam. He does not pay boshes umpegam. Why not? Lo kol heimeno sheyifkom bito shoploni. Because Rabbi Shimon, the truth is, he's not believed to be pogam. I don't know what the good English word for pogam is. But discredit, okay. Good, all right, discredit or malign or somehow detract from the standing. I will say, now you have to see what the Gemara is saying over here. There's no question that there must have been many cases where a girl was seduced, but a family probably chose not to say anything about it. Not to say anything. I'm sorry? Thank you. Editorial comment by Yangi. All right, good. So, all right. I should realize this is what happens when I should just stick to Gemara. All right, we'll just stick it to Gemara. So in any event, you see, again, there were definitely times where the Maisa, somebody chose not to say something. The girl chose not to say something. The family chose not to say something. You must remember, again, this is in a case of Mefata. So people chose not to say anything at the end of the day. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, listen, a guy shows up in Beis Din and he says, I seduced this girl. What do we say to him, says Rabbi Shimon? We don't listen to him. We listen to him. Very simple, because it's very nice that he wants to clear. We'll say, you know, this is a very important yisod. You see this sometimes where people want to make themselves feel better, but sometimes making yourself feel better comes at someone else's expense. So Rabbi Shimon says, very nice you want to clear your conscience. Listen, you did something bad. You can't clear your conscience now at somebody else's expense. So we don't believe him. So we'll say, so all the Gemara is pointing out over here is you see that this is a machlokis tanoim, because clearly our Mishnah holds that what? Our Mishnah holds that when a guy shows up in Beis Din and says, I seduced the girl, we believe him. We believe him. Again, he has to pay damages. Rabbi Shimon is saying, we don't believe him.
Since he admitted himself, we don't make him pay anything.
No. In the Mishnah, he doesn't have to pay the knas, but he still has to pay boshes begam. Mishnah says we don't believe him. He doesn't pay anything. We don't accept the claim. If I don't accept the claim, that is, there's no damages. There's nothing to pay. Amrli Rapapa La Abayis. Rapapa said to Abaye, Rashi says, here Rashi says, Lo kol hemena, Rashi says, Shiyotzi aleha laz mizane bi'ir. There is, meaning, Rabbi say, remember, you say this about a girl, ultimately, again, it gives her a reputation of promiscuity, and therefore this guy who shows up in Beis Din and said that I seduced her, he's not believed to go out and be motzi laz on her like that. So we'll listen to this, Rabbi say. So Amrli Rapapa La Abaye, Necha la ledida mai. So Rabbi say, let's say it is Nechala. Let's say it's okay with her. Now, what does that mean? It's okay with her if this guy makes the claim. Rashi says, Nechal ledida, la seis es halaz, kidei lisnakir hamamon. So let's say again, you know, the truth is, it's okay with her. Why? Right? Show me the money, right? So I'll say, meaning she can make out significantly financially with this. So let's say again, it's okay with her. Let's say the guy shows up in Beis Din and we see it's okay, however we gauge that it's okay with her because she'll be able to collect the money, to which the Gemara says, Dimlo nechale la'avia. That's fine that it's okay with her. Maybe it's not okay with her father. Nechale la'avia mai. What happens if we know it's okay with her and it's okay with her father? What's that halacha? Dimlo nechale libnei mishpacha. Well, one second. There are others there. Shiduchim, right? You know, again, mamish, there are other members of the family. I don't know, that was a yawn or that was agreement? You were agreeing. Okay, good. All right, so good. So the Gemara says, so nechaluhu libnei mishpachamai. What happens if it's okay with the members of the family? To which the Gemara says, efshar deleka chabim medina seyam delo nechale. It's not possible. There's going to be one family member who will be adversely affected by this news that she was compliant in an immoral act. Rabbi says, so just halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So halacha lemaisa, we do not paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Yudu, that name of Rabbi Shimon. We paskin ultimately, again, like the Tana of our Mishnah, which means if a man shows up in Beis Din, and ultimately goes in and says that I seduced the girl, he is liable to go ahead and pay her the damages. Again, he's pater in the knas, because whenever you're modi be knas, you're pater, but he is chayv to pay her the damages. So that's a Baba Kama question. We're not going to get into that now. That's not our sugya. Right, that's not... So how to evaluate damages is a whole... We're going to get into that. That's the Babas. That's the Knas's objective. Damages is a... That's why, Baruch Hashem, we have three Masechtos dedicated to damages. We will get to it.
What are the fathers of Ger, the mothers of Gioras, and they're the only halakhic relatives, right?
No, Ari, you can't do that on your first day here. You can't do that. You can't have Mishnah. Say that again. Father's a ger, mother's a gioras.
Only halachic parents are the parents.
Oh, so you're asking on Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah.
You're asking Rabbi Shimon. So I think what you'd have to say is that Rabbi Shimon would say probably it's a low plug. And when the Gemara gives an end like that, there's someone somewhere who's got to be concerned, that's another way of saying, look, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't go ahead and malign this girl's reputation. It doesn't matter, even if you can prove that no one cares. Halacha cares. But Lamaisa, we reject that position. Now, we're not going to get into this now, but we will discuss this in later on Sugyas, which is, there is sometimes the ability, and we've seen examples of this, to accept the claim, but not necessarily accept the claim's impact on a person's reputation. So meaning, if I come along and I say, I did something wrong, I violated, I seduced this girl. So it could be that what the halacha is really saying is, listen, you say you owe someone money, and no one's contesting it, pay them the money. But lav dafka, I have to accept what this person is saying vis-a-vis the reputation of the girl. We can do what's called pagina dibure. We can sometimes split and splice a person's word to say, your words will generate a liability, but lav dafka will have an impact on reputation. We'll see that. Says the Gemara. Ha'omer ganafti mishlam esakeren. Remember, a person says, I stole property, or I stole your object. What's the halacha? You have to pay the keren, the principal, but you do not have to pay kefel, or arba v'chamisha, which are knas payments. Itmar, so we'll say, now we get into a very interesting sugya. Palgan is going to, now what's interesting is a lot of what we're doing today is bordering on the babas, which is very interesting. Palgan is going to say chatzi nezek. So what is palgan is going to? Rashi says palgan is going to shechayva Torah short tam. The halacha is that if you have a short tam, what's the definition of a short tam? Literally a simple ox. It's getting in yoni. We're shloshim yom kodim achag, the tam, right? So what happens? It's a short that has not damaged three times. So the halacha is that a short tam pays chatzi nezek, pays half damages. So the shaila now is, what is the status of half damages? Is half damages mamon, or is half damages knas? What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? Right? If I come along and say, my short tam damaged someone else's short, or damaged another person, or damaged another person's property, that's only going to be chatzi nezek. Can I generate the liability based on my own admission or not? So Rav Papa says, pagan is kamamona. Rav Papa says, chatzi nezek is mamon. And therefore, Rav Osai, if I come along and say that my short tam did damage, then I have to go ahead and pay it. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, pagan niska knasar. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua says, no, not true. Chatzi nezek is a knas. Is a knas. So let's analyze this. Rav Papa Amar Palgan is kamamona. So Rav Papa says that chatzi nezek is mamon. Kasavar stam shvarim lav. Becheskas shumar kaimi. Because the boss, remember, Rav Papa will say like this. A stam shar, any ox, is not considered to be guarded. It's not considered to be, it's another way of saying animals damage. Animals damage. I will say, so you know, you hear every once in a while, this is not a knock on anyone who has a dog or anything like that, but you should, like, every once in a while you hear like these stories about a person has like a pet pit bull, and then they went ahead and the pit bull mauls someone. And people say, I can't believe it. It was such a sweet pit bull, such a kind pit bull. And you say, you moron, what are you talking about? It's a pit bull. It's a pit bull. And the teva of the pit bull is to maul people, it's to bite people. No offense to the dog lovers, but keep them on the outside, right? That's what's going to happen. So again, said the Gemara, Gemara says over here, stam shar, stam ox, animals do damage. Therefore what? Therefore the Gemara says, and in reality, even when a shard does damage the first time, you really should have to pay full damages, because in other words, it's another way of saying, really, behema muad liolam. Really, a behema is always muad. So therefore, it's no surprise when it does damages, you should have to pay full nezek. V'rachmanohu dechayis iluya. But what happened? For whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion on the first-time offender. You tried your best, your animal damaged, so therefore the Torah is going to take it easy on you. Da'akati lo'i atura. Because yet the shar has not yet become a muad. So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, if remember the Yeshua says that in reality, not Rafuna Bridi of Yeshua. This is Rapapa. So Rapapa holds that Chatzi Nezek is Mamon. Why is Chatzi Nezek Mamon? Because in reality, this is an obligation you have, because anytime we should be prepared for an animal to damage. So really, you should have to pay full Nezek. The Torah took it easy on a first time, even a second time offender, that you only have to pay half damages. But in reality, this is Mamon. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua Amar Palgan is Kaknasa. On the other hand, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua says that no Chatzi Nezek is a Knas. Why? Kasavar Stam Shvarim Mecheskas Shimar Kaimin. He says differently. He says that a Stam Shar, really, animals we assume don't damage. We assume animals don't damage. Ubedinhu Delova Shalim Klal. In reality, until an animal becomes a muad, which also means what? And until an animal establishes a chazoka, that it really is, bless you, a damaging animal, really, you should not have to pay at all. But ultimately, again, the Torah gives you a knas, gives you a penalty payment, in order that what? In order to get the owner to pay special attention to the, I'm going to take all questions at the end. In order to go ahead and get you to watch your animals. So Rabbi say, so what comes out of here is a fundamental machlokis, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bar Rav Yehoshua. That what? Namely, what is the nature of Chatzi Nezek? Rav Papa says Chatzi Nezek is Mamon. Why? Because in reality, we assume animals damage, and animals ultimately, again, should be paying Nezek Shalim from the beginning. But for whatever reason, the Torah had mercy on the first time and even second time, you only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua says, absolutely not. In reality, we assume animals don't do damage. But what? The animals don't do damage, and therefore, again, this is a knas that was imposed upon the owner of the animal in order to get you to be more vigilant with watching animal. Now, says the Gemara. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tnan. So we're going to speak about Chatzi Nezek a little bit more. So just remember this machlokis. Now the Gemara is going to try to see who is correct. So Tanan, Hanizak v'hamazik b'tashlumin. So Rabbi says, listen to this. So we have a Mishnah that says that both the Nizak is the damaged party, and the Mazik is the damager. So both the Nizak and the Mazik share in the tashlumin, share in the payment for damage done. So what does this mean? So Bishlam the man Damra Palganis Kamamona. So I understand if you say that Chatzi Nezek is Mamon. Now what does that mean? That even the first time my shard damages, what should be the halacha? I really should pay Nezek Shalim. But the Torah took it easy on a first-time offender. Then, Hainu de Shayach Nizek Petashuman. Then I understand what the Mishnah means when it says what? That both the damager and the damaged party share in the damages. Why? Because it will say, really, if I'm the damaged party, I should really get what? Full damages. But okay, now we're both sharing in the damages, meaning you, damager, pay half, and I, damaged party, have to absorb half. But again, according to the Mandarma, says the Chatzi Nezek is a knas. The Rebbe say, what does that mean? The first time an animal damages someone, what should really be the halacha? I shouldn't have to pay anything. Then if I'm the damaged party, I'm already getting something that's not even really owed to me. Can you actually say that I'm sharing in the damages? To which the Gemara says, no, lo nitzracha ela lefachas nevela. We'll say, oh, see, here's something very interesting. What does Chatzi Nezek mean, by the way? So listen to this. Chatzi Nezek means like this. So let's say my shar damages Reuven's shar. Or my shar kills Reuven's shar. So what does Chatzi Nezek mean? Chatzi Nezek was, we take the value of the animal when it was alive, and we contrast it with the animal now that it's dead. Because a dead animal has value as well. And what happens? We take that amount. So let's say again, the animal when it's alive is worth, bless you, is worth $1,000. And now when it's dead, it's worth $500. So therefore, again, the difference in value ultimately, again, is that $500. We take half of that. That's chasi nezek. That's chasi nezek. But I'll also remember this for the depreciation. Bless you. When is there for the depreciation? Remember again, you know, it's not the pshat that immediately when the animal dies, they're not necessarily getting to Beis Din that same day. So as more time that goes by, the carcass of the animal decomposes, which means that what? The value goes down even more. Now that decrease in value is not taken into account when establishing Chatzi Nezek. Chatzi Nezek only takes into account the difference between a live animal and a dead animal. Further depreciation as a result of decomposition is fully borne by the damaged party. It's always borne by the, not always, there are cases where it's not, but in this case, for the Gemara's purposes, it's fully borne by the damaged party. Therefore, I will say, listen to this. When the Mishnah says that both the damaged party as well as the damager share in damages or share in the expense of damages. So both the man and the amrim understand that Mishnah differently. If you hold that chatzi nezek is mamon, then in reality I understand why the damaged party shares in the damages, because in reality either damaged party should be getting what? Nezek shalem. I'm forced to give up 50% of what's due to me, fine. But even if you hold that chatzi nezek is knas, which means in reality the damaged party should get nothing for a first time shar offender, but he's still getting chatzi nezek. But what loss does he incur? He incurs the loss of additional decomposition before he could sell off the carcass. That amount is borne ultimately again by the damaged party. To which the Gemara says, one second, pachas nevela tanino. But one second, if you want to speak about again additional damages because of the decomposition of the carcass, we already spoke about that. So the Gemara says, tashlumi nezek, because again, when the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, tashlumi nezek, melame shabayle metaplim binevela. Remember, we've already learned that the owners must take care to go ahead and dispose of the nevela. Meaning, I will say, at the end of the day, so in a case of chatzi nezek, so the owners have to, the owners of the dead animal, meaning the damaged party, has to try to recap as much of the loss as possible by dealing with the carcass. So why do we have to state this twice? To which the Gemara says, Chada b'tam v'chada b'muad. Oh, one is talking about a case where the animal was killed by a tam animal, a first-time offender, and one is talking about a case where the animal was killed by a muad, a habitual offender. Utricha. And I will say, why does the Gemara have to teach me this halacha twice? So I will say, what's coming out over here now is the following. I now have two times where the Gemara is teaching me that when my animal was, let's say, killed by another's animal, the halacha is, let's say, for a first-time offender, I'll get chatzi knas, but any loss that occurs as a result of additional decomposition of the carcass of the animal between the time that the animal died and the time of judgment, so I, the damaged party, have to bear that loss. And now we've been taught that halacha twice. Once when my animal was killed by a tam animal, and once when my animal was killed by a muad animal. And why do I need both of these halachas? Utzricha, diashmuin on tam. If it would have just told me a case where my animal was killed by a tam, mishum da'akati lo iyaid. Because I understand that. Because obviously, if it's a tam animal, I can't force the owner of the tam to go ahead and bear the costs or bear the expenses of loss as a result of decomposition. Of a muad, di iyaid. But in a case of a muad, where already the animal is a habitual offender, I might have thought, what? Emalo. I might have thought that, no, as part of the damages, what should the owner of the damaging animal have to do? He should also have to incur the costs associated with additional decomposition. Or if it would have just told me in the case of muad, because the owner of the muad is already paying for the full value of the animal, and therefore, again, I understand why the costs associated with additional decomposition should be borne by the owner of the animal. But in the case of tam, I would have said not. Therefore, tzricha. So I said, therefore, the Gemara feels compelled to teach us in both cases of where the damaging animal was a tam and the damaging animal was a muad, that any additional expenses or any additional depreciation associated with additional decomposition of the dead animal is borne by what we call the nizak, by the damaged party, by the owner of the animal. Tashma. So the Gemara brings another braisa. Ma bein tam lemuad. We'll say, what is the chilik between a tam and a muad? Meaning, what is there when it's a tam animal who does damage or a muad animal does damage? Shatam mishalim chati nezek migufo. Rabbi says, it's actually very interesting that a tam pays half damages migufo from its body, Umuad mishalim nezek shalim min ha'aliyah. But a muad ultimately pays full damages from the best property. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. It's the first white line in Rashi. Migufo. Ein ogove ela miguf hashar. Ve'im ein bo kidei chatzi nisko. Yafsid hamosar. So we'll say it's actually very interesting that the Gemara is suggesting over here that a tam goes ahead and pays chatzi nezek from the value of the tam. Which is very interesting. Which I'll say works in well if it's a knas. So now that works well if what? That works well if the tam animal that did damages was what? Was a valuable animal. But it could be that the tam animal is a very insignificant animal. But lamaisa, that's what you get. However, muad, Rashi says, you have to pay min aliyah, min ametav shebenichse mazik. So you have to pay from the best of the property of the damager. Degabe tam ksiv vechatzo es kaspo bingufo, ubemuad ksiv shalem yishalem shor. Vim isa de palganiska knasa. So I'll say, fine. So therefore, the Gemara says over here. Now, what's interesting to note, why is the Gemara bringing this? Velo katani, sha'atam eno mishalim al piatzmo, umuad mishalim al piatzmo. Now, I'll say, remember, we're still fixated on what discussion. Let's not lose sight of our primary subject matter. What's our primary subject matter? Is, remember, our Mishnah is talking about cases where somebody shows up in Beis Din, says, I did something wrong. So what's the klal that the Mishnah has taught us? If the person is obligating themselves in mamon, they have to pay. If it's knas, then what? Then they're exempt. What are we focusing on now? What is chatzi nezek? Is chatzi nezek a knas or is chatzi nezek mamon? And that is a machlokis between Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua. Rav Papa says it's mamon. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua says that it is knas. Now the Gemara brings a braisa, and the braisa is discussing the distinctions between a tam and a muad. And the Gemara says, interestingly enough, one interesting distinction that the Braisa did not bring was what? The Braisa did not say that a tam eino mishalim al piatzmo, and a muad is mishalim al piatzmo. Now, what the Gemara is saying is like this. If it was really true that chatzi nezek was a knas, and nezek shalim is mamon, then that would have been a most wonderful distinction for the Braisa to bring down between tam and muad. It could have just said that what? That when a guy shows up in Beis Din and says, my tam animal damaged someone else, then what would be the halacha? He should be potter because it's a knas. But yeah, when he says that my muad animal damaged someone else, he should be chai because it's mamon. The fact that the braisa did not include this distinction seems to point in one direction, that in fact chatzi nezek is not a knas, but rather what? Chatzi nezek must be mamon. To which the Gemara says, no, tanavashir. The braisa didn't include every single distinction. The braisa left off certain distinctions. So Gemara says, okay, why don't you tell me my shir the high shir? And I remember, it's not enough just to say it left off the distinction between the fact that chatzi nezek is a knas and nezek shalim is mamon. Rather, there has to be other things that are left off the list also. So what else is left off the list? For example, chatzi kofer. Chatzi kofer. So it left off the case of chatzi kofer. So the Gemara says, "I mishum chatzi kofer." Now, if you want to say that it's because of chatzi kofer, look at Rashi for just a moment. Shir chatzi kofer lo shana kol achilukim shebeinehem shere af yishchiluk zebeinehem shamuad shehimis es haadam mishalim kofer shalim. Now, both say if an animal is a muad and it kills a person, it has to pay full kofer v'tam shehimis afilu chatzi kofer kedino benizak. But Rabbi say, if a tam kills someone, there's only chatzi kofer. So, for example, the braisa did not go ahead and indicate this distinction. To which the Gemara says, imishum chatzi kofer. If you want to say it's because of the mishum chatzi kofer, no, lav shiuruhu. That's not a good example. That's not called the shir. Why not? Hamani, because whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Amar tam mishalim chatzi kofer. Because ultimately, again, he is of the opinion who says that a tam pays a chatzi kofer. Rashi says over here, Hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Amar tam mishalim chatzi kofer, the darish lahai noki ledrashachrisi, ledmei velados. So, okay, we don't have to get into all of this. So the Gemara says over here that that's not a shir because, again, the Mishnah reflects the view of a specific time. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that a tam only pays chatzi kofer. So, Tashma. Hamis shori es ploni, o es shoro shel ploni. So now the Gemara brings another braisa. So also remember, we're trying to figure out the nature of chatzi nezek. This is all about chatzi nezek. Is chatzi nezek knas or is chatzi nezek mamon? So the Gemara brings another braisa. Hamis shori es ploni, o shoro shel ploni. So a person says, my shor. my shor killed Ploni, or my shor killed the shor of Ploni, harizeh mishalim api atzmo. Oh, so what happens? I walk into Beis Din and I say, look, again, remember, I'm not being brought to Din. I'm walking of my own volition into Beis Din and I say, my shor killed Ploni, or my shor killed the shor of Ploni. So what is the halacha? Harizeh mishalim api atzmo. Rabosei, what's the halacha? The halacha is I pay based on my own statement. My lav betam, are we not talking about a tam? That's another way of saying what? Are we not talking about a case of chatzi nezek or chatzi kofer? Right? And what do we see over here? What do we see here, Abosai? We see that chatzi nezek must be what? Must be mamon. Why? Because if it was knas, what would be the halacha? Modeh b'knas pater. So therefore, you see from here, clear, that again, chatzi nezek is mamon. To which the Gemara says, my lav betam. The Gemara says, no. Lo b'muad. No, not true. This could just as easily be talking about a case of muad, of where the animal was warned right in. Abosai, if it's a case of muad, then what's the halacha? Then it's ultimately going to be nezek shalim. And if it's nezek shalim, then what is that called? Then it's going to be called mamon and not knas. Therefore, it's not a raya. Aval betam mai. What would be the halacha by tam? Eino mishalim api atzmo. And Abosai said, the halacha by tam would be that a person would not pay based on their own statement, which would mean, why? I'm sorry? Or chatzi nezek, either way, because remember, that's why it adds in the case over here also of hamis is shori. So, right, because hamis is shori would be a case of nezek, not a case of kofar. So the Gemara says over here, so we'll say, see now what the Gemara is suggesting is like this, is that Lamaisa, we thought this price was going to bring a riot to the fact, we thought it's talking about a tam, and he has to pay chatzi nezek, and yet the Brisa says that what? That he has to pay based on his own admission, that would be a good riot, that chatzi nezek is mamon. The Gemara says, no, how do you know it's a case of tam? Maybe it's a case of muad, and therefore I'm coming at the base, and I'm saying my muad ox killed Ruvain's ox, and so what does the Brisa say? I have to pay based on my own admission. That's fine, no chiddush over there. That's nezek shalim. Nezek shalim was going to be mamon. I will pay based on my own admission. But what will be the halacha by a tam, by chatzi nezek? Well, we could infer from this, that's what? That halacha lamaisa, if I come into Beis Din and I say that my tam ox killed someone else's tam ox, that will be the halacha? I would not pay based on my own admission. Why? Because that would be chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek is knas, and you can't pay knas based on your own statement. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Adetani Seifa. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. Remember again, in the Mishnah's case was Hamis Shori Avdo Shel Ploni. Right? So the Mishnah brought down a case that my shor went ahead and killed the Eved of so-and-so. So the Mishnah said, Ein Mishalim Al Pi Atzmo. I do not have to pay in that case. Why, Rabosai? Because remember, when the ox kills a shor, that is a knas payment of 30 shkalim that the Torah imposes. You can't be chayav a knas based on your own admission. Now the Gemara makes a suggestion. The Gemara says, Adetani Seifa Avdo Shel Ploni Ein Mishalim Al Pi Atzmo Niflog V'nisne Bididei. Instead of introducing a new case of Eved in the Seifa of the Mishnah, why not go ahead and just give the other tzad of the earlier mentioned case? But Medrar Mamurim, Rabosai, when do we say that Lemaisa, you only, because remember again, in the previous case of the Mishnah, was Hamis Shori Esploni, Oshora Shaploni, Harizem Shalim Api Atzmo. So we'll say, just listen to the flow of the Mishnah for just a moment. So case number one in the Mishnah was, I come into Beis Din and I say, my ox killed someone else's ox. So how did the Mishnah paskin? So the Mishnah said, Harizim Mishalim Api Atzmo. I have to pay based on my own testimony, based on my own admission. Why? Because that's mamon. Then the Mishnah introduces the case where it says, but if I come into Beis Din and I say that my ox went ahead and killed Reuven's Eved, then what's the halacha? And Potter, why? Because the penalty payment for killing an Eved is a Knas, and Modeh b'Knas Potter. Someone says, I don't understand. Why do you have to introduce the case of Eved? Why don't you just go ahead and give two cases of where what? Of where my shor kills the shor of someone else. And I'll tell you exactly how to set it up. Why don't you say, B'medar Mamurim, when is it true that if I come into Beis Din and I say my ox kills someone else's ox, then I'm going to be chayiv to pay based on my own admission? That's when? B'muad. Oh, that's in a case of mud. Because we'll say, in a case of mud, what's that, Locha? I have to pay Nezek Shalim. Nezek Shalim is what? Is mamon. And I'm chayiv mamon up based on my own admission. However, aval tam, Eino mishalim api atzmo. but make a distinction in that same case. But if I show up in Beis Din, I say that my tam ox killed someone else's ox, and I will say, what should be the halacha? The halacha should be that I should be potter. Why? Because the payment for a tam is what? Is chatzi nezek, and chatzi nezek is a kinas, and modib kinas potter. To which the Gemara answers, no, because kula b'muad kamairi. Because the way the Mishnah wanted to set up its case was exclusively dealing with an animal that is a muad. So the Gemara says, tashma. So the Bo said, let's bring another braisa. Zaklal, kala mishalim al koma shehizik, eno mishalim al piatzmo. So Bo said, remember, now the Gemara once again is quoting this statement from the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? Anyone who goes ahead and pays more than what he damaged, eino mishalim apiatzmo. That's called the knas, and you won't have to go. You don't pay based on your own admission. But what could we infer from here? Hapachos mimashehizik mishalim apiatzmo. I'll say now. What can you infer from there? What you can infer from there is, but if you pay less than what you are obligated to pay, which sounds like what? Sounds like what case? Chatzin nezek. Then you should be obligated to pay apiatzmo, which Rabbi say sounds like what? That chatzin nezek would in fact be mamon. To which the Gemara says, lo tema hapach zimash hizik. No, don't make that inference that you have to pay less than the value than what you actually damaged. Ela ima. So rather what you should infer from the Mishnah is like this. Anytime you have to pay what you actually damaged, that's called mamon. But what's the halacha if you only pay less than the amount than what you damaged? Then eino mishalim apiatzmo. Then what? Then you would not pay based on your own admission. Because the Bo says, in other words, any time that you're paying less or more than what you actually damaged, that's indicative that what you're paying is a knas and not mamon, and you're not can never become chayiv to a knas based on your own admission. So that's he says, Zigmar, I don't understand. So listening, so why doesn't the Mishnah say the following? Zaklal, this is the principle. Kol she'eino mishalim kema shehizik, eino mishalim al pi atzmo. So I say, so why doesn't the Mishnah just say like this? Any time that you don't pay in accordance with what you damaged, right? In accordance with what you damaged, whether you pay more or less, the mashma pachos or mashma yeser. Why doesn't the Mishnah just say anytime you don't pay in accordance with what you damaged? And I understand that what that means is either you pay more or you pay less. You don't have to pay based on your own admission. Why? Because that's called a knas. To which the Gemara says, Tiyufta, you know what? That's a good refutation. Now, both say, now, what does Tiyufta mean? So Tiyufta sounds like that what the Gemara is forced to concede is that perhaps Chatzin Nezek is in fact what? Is in fact Mamon. Is in fact Mamon. Because the way that the Mishnah worded it is that it's only if you're paying more than what you damaged that is definitely going to be considered to be a Knas, but maybe less is not considered a Knas. The halacha, and what is the halacha? Palga niska kinasa. So we'll say, what is the halacha? Halacha lemaisa, chatzin ezek is a kinas. Gemara says, what is going on over here? Teyufta the hilchasa. So we'll say, you understand what just happened over here? So the Gemara just said, based on the Mishnah, it appears that we refuted the position of Rav Papa. Based on the Mishnah, it appears that chatzin ezek is in fact mamon. Now, where do we get that from? Because the fact that the Mishnah said, Zakal, this is the rule. Anytime you pay more than what you damaged, that is called the kinas. Rabbi say, what do you infer from that statement? But anytime you're paying less than what you're damaged, as much as you're not paying what you damaged, that's still called what? It's still called mamon. So now you just, based on the inference of the Mishnah, you just said that the halacha is that chatzin nezek is considered to be mamon, and then you say halacha lemaisa, but the halacha is chatzin nezek is kinas. What does that mean? Tiyufta v'hilchasa, you refute the statement, and then you say the halacha is that way, to which the Gemara says, yes. The Gemara says, taima mai isosiv. Why is it that you had a tiyufta? Mishum delo ketani, mishum delo katoni, kmash shehizik. Because Rabbi say, because you were upset that the Mishnah didn't say, anytime you don't pay in accordance with what you damaged. To which the Gemara says, lo psikale, kevan di'ika chatzin nezek tsroros. The hilchasa gemirila de mamonahu mishumhachi lo katani. So we'll say here's what's very interesting. What's very interesting is because there is, so in reality what the Gemara is saying is like this. The Mishnah really holds that chatzin nezek is knas. Almost everyone holds that Chatzi Nezek is Knas, except for one opinion, as we saw before. But so why doesn't the Mishnah just say, any time you pay more or you pay less than what you damaged, that's going to be called the Knas? Because there is one exception to the rule, and that's Chatzi Nezek of Tzoros. So we'll say, when we get to Baba Kamo, we will spend extensive time on Tzoros. Tzoros literally means the following. Tzoros is Nezek, is damage that an animal does, we call bederach halicha, what we call regel, normative actions of an animal. It kicks up pebbles, and those pebbles go and break something else. Now, the reason why that case is unique is because normally when we speak about an animal doing damage, the animal is doing damage with its own body, with its own koach. Tzoros is a case of where an animal does damage indirectly. So the halacha is that if an animal damages through tzoros by kicking up pebbles and breaking something else, so the halacha is you have to pay chatzi nezek, half damages. But that Chatzi Nezek is called what? It's called Mamon and not Knas. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, for reasons we'll discuss, the Mishnah felt awkward about making a statement that only time something is called Mamon is when you pay exactly what you damaged. But if you pay more or you pay less, it's automatically Knas. The Mishnah can't say that. Why? Because there is a case of where you pay less than what you damage, but yet what? It's still called mamon. So because of that, the Gemara just chose to say, anytime you pay more than what you damage, that's called kenas. It didn't want to discuss when you pay less, but our Mishnah itself accepts the premise that what? That chatzi nezek is still called kenas. And Abba said that indeed it's halacha lemaisa, that chatzi nezek is called the kenas. The Gemara says, Mishum hachi katani, v'hashad the amrit paganiska kenas. Abba said, now listen, let's just finish this up. So now that we've established that what? That chatzi nezek is kenas. Abba said, that is halacha lemaisa. Therefore, again, if I show up in Beis Din and I say that my muad animal damaged someone else's animal, then halacha lemaisa, I am potter. Why? Because mod b'kenas potter. But now that we said, suppose listen to this. Hi kalba, this is actually getting us ready for Pesach a little bit. Listen to this. Hi kalba, the achal imri vishunra the achal tanagoli. Right? Sounds familiar. Right? You got a little chagadja going on over here. So the Gemara says, if I have a dog, the achal imri, my dog ate sheep. Now, if you look at Rashi, shachanak talaim chayim v'achlam. The dog strangled the sheep and then ate them, which Rabbi Osai is not normal. That's a departure from normal dog behavior. Vishunra the achli tarnagoli ravervi, or a cat that attacked large fat roosters. Now Rabbi Osai, now that dogs go after sheep is true, but small sheep, and that cats go after chickens, that's true, but or roosters, but that's small ones. So both of these represent a little bit of a shinoi from normal animalistic behavior. What's the halacha? Mishunuhu, this is considered to be a departure from the norm. Rashi says ein darko bekach, and Rashi says v'chol nezek mishunah bebehema havitolda dekeren tama v'afi mishunah. So therefore, again, because it's mishunah v'lo magbina b'bala. So we'll say, remember, so what be the halacha in this kind of case? The halacha in this kind of case would be that this would be a case where the ma'aseh would only pay chatzi nezek. Any situation where there's non-normative damages, you only have to pay chatzi nezek. So therefore, these would be cases of chatzi nezek, and therefore what? Below magbinon bebavel. But Rabbi say there is interesting halacha. They did not adjudicate knas cases in Bavel. They only adjudicated mamon cases in Bavel. For various reasons. One of the reasons is that in Bava they often did not have dayanim who had smicha. And you need smicha in order to be able to adjudicate knas cases. However, again, in Eretz Yisrael, aval zutri, archeu, but Rabosai, if the cat were to attack smaller roosters, that would be a normative case, umagbinon, and therefore, again, that would be a case of mamon, and we would be able to go ahead and take such a person to court, even in Bavel. However, v'itafas mafkin, now this is very interesting, but in cases, or we're listening to this, in cases where, let's say, they cannot collect in Bavel because it was a knas case. So let's say, again, my cat attacks Reuven's larger roosters. So that's a mishuna dika damage. That's a non-normal damage. And therefore, again, you only have to pay chatzi nezek. Because you only have to pay chatzi nezek, therefore what? Therefore, lemaisa, they can't collect it in Bavel. You'd have to go to court in Eretz Yisrael. But if this happened in Bavel, if Reuven happened to have my snowblower, then what? He could hold on to it in payment for the damage. damages. Well, so this is a halacha that we have by damages, that sometimes when you can't extract money from someone for damages, if you are already in possession of their item, you could keep that item in satisfaction of the debt. V'i amar ikvu li zimna l'eretz Yisrael. And if the damaged party says, well, let's make a court date to go to Eretz Yisrael, then again, we establish that court date for me. He has every right to go to Eretz Yisrael to collect the damages. And if the damaging party, if the owner of the cat does not go to Eretz Yisrael, we put him in Chirim. In other words, we'll say, if you don't show up for your Beis Din has the right to put you in Chirim. So the Gemara says, really, in reality, we put him in Chirim either way. Why? Because we'll say, we say to someone, if you have an aggressive cat or you have an aggressive dog, you should put it down. I guess that's the wrong word. You don't have to euthanize it per se, but you have to get it out of your house. Why? Because you're not permitted to maintain a damaging influence in your house. How do we know that a person should not raise a bad dog in his home? Jose, meaning, how do you know that you should not keep something that damages with you? Or for that matter, or you should not keep a rickety ladder in your home. Because the Torah says, literally, you shall not place blood in your home, which Chazal darshan to mean that you should not keep in your home any koach, any power, anything that could ultimately result in the damage of another. So, what comes out from this sugya, two important halachas. Number one, mode de kinas pater. Any time that you show up in Beis Din and you say that you are liable to a kinas, by definition, if you are the one who brings it, like you are the one who admits it, based on exeris akasav, you are pater. However, if you come to Beis Din saying that you damaged someone and there's a claim of mamon, you can be chayev mamon to the other based on your own admission. And halacha lemaisa, we paskin chatzi nezek, partial payment that you have to pay when a tam animal damages another animal, damages another person. Chatzi nezek is considered to be knas, and therefore, again, if you are mode in the chatzi nezek, ultimately, you are Pater. Hadron Aloch Elo Naros. We'll say we start with the new Mishnah Emir Tzashem tomorrow. And I'll take the opportunity to welcome Ari Elman. Emir Tzashem, you're going to be joining us now.
Thank you.
Emir Tzashem. Baruch Haba.